entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this spectacular Saturday at another Chamber of Commerce Saturday down here in downtown St. Pete at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I'm Mike Rickard alongside Ben Botham. It's a Masters weekend as well. And at 4:10 today across the street, we've got the Tampa Bay Rays, the red hot Tampa Bay Rays, as they take on the Oakland Athletics. You know what? When I think of the Oakland Athletics, I go way back, 1971. I can name the starting lineups. Because they were the AAA club was the Iowa Oaks in Des Moines. So Sal Bando, Gene Tennis, Joe Rudy, and Reggie Jackson, all that era, Hall of Famers, all came through Iowa. So we went out and watched them play a doubleheader against the Baltimore Orioles. So I remember those rich in tradition days. Your generation recognizes them for Moneyball.
Yeah, that's true. Moneyball, quite a movie. You know, not my favorite baseball movie, but still pretty darn good.
You know what? It actually kind of, as I've said, they need to have a movie on analytics with the kind of success these guys are having across the street.
A Moneyball Part 2 with the Tampa Bay Rays?
Exactly. Something comparable, because it is a pretty amazing story.
There is a good story to be told here about the Rays, you know, starting all the way back with
the 25th anniversary this year.
25th anniversary. I mean, you could even talk about the White Sox possibly coming down here, and that's why there's a little bit of a Kaminsky Park kind of feel when you actually get inside the stadium.
Well, you even alluded that they're San Francisco Giants, and I think it was Rick Vaughn that told me that they were broadcasting the Giants games down here the year before so that the fan base would get used to the Giant players and accustomed to it, and I thought that was pretty unique.
Yeah, it's crazy that it took so long to get baseball down here in the first place, that Miami was the first home for baseball in Florida. It really seems like it should have been here in St. Petersburg just because of the rich history of the Yankees, the Reds, all these teams coming down
make sense.
Playing here.
It didn't make sense, did it?
No, not at all. But, you know, we have a team now, and it's definitely a story to be told another day. And they've been celebrating their rich history, of course, with the Rays Hall of Fame, where they inducted its first member.
It was cool. I went to that event.
Don Zimmer. Can you tell me about it, Mike? How was it?
Well, I tell you what, I didn't know that was taking place. So we got over there, and we were very fortunate, Kenny and I, and Sherry and Terry, and we're right behind home plate. And you could see that some kind of ceremonial thing was going to take place. They had family and friends. We got in at just a perfect time. And his bride spoke, his son spoke. Can't think of what's his name. The television
Dwayne Statz.
Dwayne Statz did a superb job of hosting it, and then the coolest thing was his grandson, throwing the opening pitch to his dad, and there's so many stories about Don Zimmer, and that I put. Did you ever see when he rushed Pedro Martinez?
Oh yeah.
Here he is. He's a bench coach. He was a bench coach for a plethora of teams. I can't even.
Yeah, he had 66 years in baseball with 11 as senior baseball advisor in Tampa Bay.
Well, I mean, he was a bench coach, so the players loved him. I know that when being a Yankee fan, I know that they loved him absolutely. But I think it was 2005, somewhere in that era, and he's on the bench, and typical Yankees and Red Sox going at it. And they rushed them out. Pedro Martinez was winging them. He was doing a Ben Botham, and he's winging them by their domes. And finally, it just erupted. And here comes 70-some-year-old, portly Don Zimmer running out of the dugout, and he goes right at Pedro Martinez. Pedro steps aside and launches them into the grass. That did nothing but inspire and piss off the Yankees.
Oh, it's
and it was on.
Yeah, everyone loves Don Zimmer. I mean, you've seen how he's been remembered here with the team. They had the Zim Bear, which was, you know, it kind of resembles his, you know, a little bit porkier side.
I have that one.
It's very cool. And now, of course, the Don Zim Bear bobblehead, which is what they gave out that night.
And that's your Easter present.
Well, thank you, Mike.
That's your Easter basket, buddy.
So, of course, we have two other members of the inaugural class that are going to be inducted later this year, with Wade Boggs scheduled to be honored July 9th against Atlanta, and later on, Carl Crawford on August 26th against Miami.
You know, who's making a lot of comparisons to Randy Arozarena to Carl Crawford? Was it you, or was it maybe it was Peter Gollenbach?
Probably Gollenbach.
Yeah. And they're doing the broadcast the other day, and they're doing a great job. Rest in peace, Dave Wills. But the, you know, they're Andy and they're doing a superb job. But they alluded to the same thing. That some of the things that he's doing are reminding them of Carl Crawford. And I never really followed the Rays then, so I don't remember what kind of player he was.
Carl Crawford was an amazing player. I mean, as a kid growing up here, first of all, they would do great giveaways. They would do little bats, jerseys, hats, all kinds of signed stuff. And he was a great guy in the community, too, which set him apart from a lot of the other players. And Carl Crawford was definitely a guy who, as a young kid, as a child, you'd see him play. And he was someone we all looked up to. He was someone you knew was going to make the play, who was going to hit the ball, and was definitely one of our first stars here at Tampa Bay.
Well, you know, here we are, the 25th anniversary, the first two home series, superb fan participation following. But I think a lot of it has to do with the energy of the start of the season. And they didn't hurt themselves by going 7-0 right out of the gate. And I tell you what, now they've got the $6 Bud Lights. They've got the $10 lower bowl tickets.
Yep.
All of those things are a factor. And now they have this winning streak off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, it's been phenomenal for our guys. We're actually hitting substantially better than we did last year. Last year, we were one of the lower scoring teams in Major League Baseball. I think we scored 666 runs. Not a good number to be stuck on there, Mike. Kind of freaks you out a little bit.
But right now, I think we're second in the league.
Right now, we're doing very good. We've outscored our opponents 53-18, and the Tampa Bay lineup has launched 18 homers this season, and that's the same number of runs that our pitching have allowed. So we're doing really well at the dish. Guys like Franco, Rosarina, Padreas, and Siri, all those guys are batting above 300, with Franco leading them at 379 for his batting average.
Well, when we went last Sunday, Wander got a couple of hits, and when his energy and his magnetism gets going, it's as if the rest of the team follows. And you know what? They're getting production from so many different players right now. That's impressive.
Well, guys like Siri, who last year, I mean, we all kind of joked about, who is this guy coming to the team? But right now, he's going off. He's batting above 300 right now and is doing absolutely amazing out there in the field after we lost Kevin Kiermaier, who I won't say how happy I am, but, you know,
You're ecstatic now.
I think it was the smartest move in baseball.
Now. I didn't like the fact that you minimized his contributions, his community support, his leadership in the dugout. But if it's all about wins and losses, that was a brilliant move to move KK to the Toronto Blue Jays.
And, of course, I think we are chasing the longest streak in baseball history, which was set by 1884 St. Louis Maroons of a 13-game win streak to start out the season.
St. Louis Maroons
in 1884. So I'm hoping the Rays will catch up to that total.
You are a historian, youngster.
Yeah, so it's looking really great. And I think on the back of our pitching, I don't think it'll be too hard to do. Our starting rotation is amazing. Sugar Shane and Rasmussen
already
are both Cy Young Award candidates, of course, for our team. And then we have guys like Zach Eflin, who's coming out and doing phenomenally well. Best he's ever done in his career, in my opinion, a guy who's been plagued by injuries.
He's where he wants to be.
And so it's looking really good. Some top-notch arms right there. Our only weak spot, of course, is our fifth arm of rotation, Josh Fleming, who has a 15 ERA.
Are you the one? Oh, somebody was going off the other day. Oh, it was Alex. Alex was texting me saying, how can Fleming be a starting pitcher?
It doesn't make any sense. It absolutely pitiful. I don't even think he broke three. Was it three innings he pitched?
Barely three innings. In fact, the guys in the booth were questioning why he wasn't why they weren't sitting him down.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when we have the third best ERA in baseball with a 2.42, only behind the Brewers with a 2.32 and the Twins with a 1.74 ERA.
Well, come on down to Sports Bar and Grill. There's still tickets available. It's a 4:10 first pitch. If you can't get to the game, stick around, Ferg's, because it's always a party here. We got 100 televisions, and any game you want. The Rays will be the dominant broadcast during the course of the game, obviously. The prices are perfect. Get yourself a Champa Bay by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. It's our number one seller and one of my favorites, Ben's favorites as well. And then, of course, our good friends at Cedar Dogs. Come by and see us, and I've got a free pint for anybody that comes by from Sea Dogs Brewery. Come on by to see the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm kind of winging in and rocking and rolling with my sponsors since I don't have a computer in front of me. And, of course, Shrimpy's Waterfront. I was over there with John and the gang. He's doing a superb job. He'll have all 22 stations on. And now you've got, I know you don't want to hear this word, you got the NBA playoffs taking place. You got the NHL playoffs, and the Bolts are in. Tonight you've got the Frozen Four at Amalie Arena, something to watch. And then, of course, baseball season is beginning. I've been kind of diving into a little SEC and ACC baseball from time to time because I do my two-minute sports update. And, man, the caliber of baseball in those two leagues is extremely impressive.
Baseball's in good hands. I know, even as a baseball fan and somebody who played Division I baseball, it's a little tough to follow along college baseball. There's so many teams. Each one's competing at such a high level, and there's so many players as well. It's a tough sport to follow along with, and I think that's why it hasn't kind of garnered the same kind of attention that the footballs and the basketball tournaments have, you know, gained.
It's kind of like hockey. You know, you've got your passionate fan base, but it's competing at the same time as all the minor league teams are first pitch out. You've got the pros. You had the World Baseball Classic this year, and it does take a backseat until we get closer to Omaha and the College World Series, which is one of the greatest experiences and venues. You've got to get there. Kenny will give you the ins and outs of downtown Omaha. You've got to get to the College World Series. Maybe we all go together one of these years. Yeah. I'd love to go back to that. It used to be at historic Rosenblatt Stadium. Now it's in a spectacular venue, and you've seen it on television.
Yeah, and I've heard there's some great card shops around there, too, that I definitely want to check
out.
Did
you say bars?
No, card shops. Oh, Mike. I'm sure those are great as well.
Great bars, too. It's old town down there. It's rustic. It's kind of like downtown St. Pete. You got the cobblestone streets, and there's plenty of bars and plenty of action for a 24-year-old. And it is a party when the College World Series is in downtown Omaha. Everybody's on board. They recognize the teams. And typically, the Nebraskans, if the University of Nebraska doesn't get in, they adopt a team. I think it was Mississippi State last year. And so they come to the games, and they become, you know, a third fan base for whoever's participating.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing environment. That's something that we always start our season off. We always, you know, said Omaha is the goal. Omaha is where we want to end up. You know, something we never quite got to.
But you guys got it, Savannah State.
We made it all the way to the regional regionals, I guess.
Did you?
That would be. We got smoked by FSU, though, unfortunately. But it was still a great experience. You know, Savannah State. We were a solid team there in the MEAC. But one of the really cool things, though, when we're talking about how college baseball doesn't really get a lot of attention, maybe just because of how long players take to get into the pros. A cool little thing that they're doing for players now when they do make it to the pros, make their major league debut, is now Topps and Major League Baseball have partnered to put a special rookie debut patch on every rookie this season. So anytime a rookie makes his first start, his first debut for their team, he'll have a special patch on his sleeve that will then be used.
So that'll be the identifier for guys like you that are collectors.
That will then be used in a one-of-one rookie card later on that year.
That'll really push up the price, one of one.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be a really cool patch that you can find. It'll even maybe come with an autograph on the card. So it's a way of getting people involved and drawing attention to these guys who are coming up from the minors, coming up from college and high school teams, and really kind of it's a great chase. It's going to be the number one rookie card now for sports card collectors is going to be that debut patch card.
That was a brilliant move on their part. Hey, you know, I just got to put a little plug for my University of Iowa Hawkeyes or any team in the Midwest. You know who the number one team in college baseball is right now?
Light me, Mike. Fill me in.
The LSU, the Tigers of LSU. The University of Iowa Hawkeyes, who have been in and out of the top 25, 23, 24, 25 the last few weeks, they actually beat them 10-3. The Hawks came down south and beat the LSU Tigers. So teams like that, if they can get into March Madness and the temperatures start rising up in the Midwest, there's still that potential. And I didn't realize that factoid until I found it somewhere the other day. I was very impressed.
Hey, I'll be rooting for your Hawkeyes, Mike. Believe it or not, the Seminole Warhawks used to use the same logo as the Hawkeyes for quite some time. Hey, they let us know and gave us a good old cease and desist. We no longer use their logo.
A lot of work at schools over the years have emulated or just basically copied. And they just out and out stole it and used them at the high school level, and that took place as well. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a conversation with John Bacchia, and then hopefully Peter Gallenbach. We'll see him walking up the street here. So he gets ready to go over to the 410 first pitch, and that is the Rays and the A's at Tropicana Field. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm Mike Rickard. Down here live at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, sitting across from baseball Ben Botham as we kick some baseball conversation around. We're now going to talk to John Bacchia here in a second. You got a little interesting factoid I think John may enjoy as well as we talk baseball right before the 4:10 first pitch. Rays and A's at Tropicana Field. Come on down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill and get yourself an ice pick. And then tomorrow morning, get up, get over to Sea Dogs, serving breakfast each and every Saturday now over on Sunset Beach on Blind Pass Road, two of our great sponsors.
Yeah, well, last week I brought you a stat from Jay Kuda on Twitter, who ranked us the happiest team in baseball, going based off of our smiling or not smiling pictures in our team photograph. This week, they have the teams ranked by weight. Believe it or not, a Major League Baseball team averages about the same weight as one male adult rhino, Mike. Would you believe that? That's 5,300 pounds.
Well, that's a factoid that I wouldn't have ever guessed.
Can you guess who the heaviest team in baseball is?
Well, it's got to be somewhere up north where they got cheese. Where they're not living healthy lifestyles. My neck of the woods, the Minnesotas, the Illinois, the Wisconsins.
You'd be pretty close there, Mike, with the Brewers being the heaviest team in baseball. Weighing as much as a rhino plus eight of those big jugs of water, it is 5,640 pounds. And your Rays coming in at the 23rd heaviest at 5,375 pounds. The lightest team, Mike, the Arizona Diamondbacks at 5,242 pounds. So I don't know what that
here's
means.
Here's where it comes from. And then we'll talk to John. It comes from Wisconsin, beer and cheese everywhere. Arizona's hotter than hell, and Mexican cuisine typically doesn't have the calories and the girth and the weight that butter and milk and cheese and plenty of beer in Wisconsin and especially Milwaukee. So that's it. That's the scientific facts. I don't want to hear any other arguments.
Yeah, I think we're in good shape there, Mike. We're not too light, but we're not too heavy. I think we're right in the sweet spot.
Yeah, and we're the happiest team. And I'm happy to invite him to the airwaves. He's been on several times, accomplished author, producer, and John Bacchia. How are you, my man?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today? That's some stats with regard to weight. Thank goodness they don't weigh broadcasters.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else on the radio in America that threw out that stat with that analysis of why the unscientific analysis. But for years, decades, you were involved in baseball and of course in production and one of the longest running best baseball shows in America. And then you wrote a book that's near and dear to the hearts of people down here. Of course, Augie and Augie Donatelli. That was a great project on your part. The 2023 season started, and as you sit back and analyze it, what do you think so far? And what do you think about our Tampa Bay Rays now?
The Rays have gotten off to, it's a historic 7-0. That's an incredible thing, and the games haven't been close. They've been beating teams by multiple runs. So I know they're on the verge of a record, and then also. The Atlanta Braves, I think, won 13 in a row back in 1982, the team of Murphy and Bob Horner. But as far as the Rays go, they're a youthful team, and I think they're going to be a contender all the way. The one thing that strikes me, if you look at their roster, as some of the younger players, we don't really quite know how good they are. I mean, we know Wander Franco at age 22 is a fantastic talent, but guys like Jose Siri and Taylor Walls and Josh Lowe, and you think you have an idea, but since they're 24, 26, that range, there is tremendous upside, I think.
I think you've got a very good point there. I don't think this team realizes their upside, Ben Botham. I mean, when you look at this nucleus, they got the arms, they've got the offense. I don't think they realize the potential that they can do in that Eastern Division this year.
I think that's kind of a good thing that they don't realize how good they can be. Mike, sometimes that can work as a disadvantage to them.
John, does this team remind you of any teams that you followed over the years that with that kind of youth and essentially no names? Miracle Mets,
The Miracle Mets, I think they had a few old-timers mixed in there. The 69 Mets had Don Clendenin, and that team was, like the Rays, was bolstered by a fantastic pitching staff. They had Tom Seaver and Jerry Koosman and a really tremendous pitching staff, Nolan Ryan as well. So not a bad staff. But I think the Rays, obviously, I think throughout the league, their pitching staff is recognized as maybe the best one in the game. You know, I mean, if you look at some of the accomplishments of their guys, I attended a dinner hosted by the Sports Club of Tampa Bay a few months ago, and
with Mark Donahue and the gang over there.
Yeah, over there, the Peter Bendix, the GM of the Rays, was there as a speaker, along with Dave Wills, who unfortunately we lost way too early. But both of them spoke of the Rays, and Bendix actually, brought up the fact that the Rays are minor league system is so strong, and I got an opportunity to see Curtis Meade and Kyle Manzardo this spring, and I think those two guys are on the fast track and will be joining the Rays at some point this year as well. Meade is a very strong hitting third baseman, and Manzardo, 300 hitter with power, so at first base. So I think very impressive.
Well, you look at the performance of Sugar Shane McClanahan, as Ben and I alluded to her a little bit on the air too. I mean, he looks like he's still got his in contention Cy Young Award form, and will be the ace on that staff. And that's the key. You just talked about that staff. The 69 Mets were just absolutely loaded. You talked about the Atlanta Braves, and they were absolutely loaded. If you got a staff that deep, and then you can put an offensive output there to support them, it's a recipe for success. And you don't need these multi-million dollar contracts. And they somehow, we were talking about their own version of Moneyball. The Rays continue to get it done.
Well, with McClanahan, he was the starter at last year's All-Star game for the American League. I mean, his credentials are well established. Rasmussen has really come along. Springs is talented, and then you've got the ace in the wings, Tyler Glasnow, when he eventually comes back. So, and Zach Eflin, 2-0. You're talking about a pitching staff with talent, depth, and that's going to play very well in a very powerful American League East.
Hey, I was going to ask you, I was at the Rays game on Sunday, and of course they put Don Zimmer into the Rays Hall of Fame here on this 25th anniversary. Did your paths ever cross Don Zimmer over the years as you were up north and obviously embedded and immersed in the world of baseball?
Well, I had an opportunity to interview Don Zimmer years ago. He was a member of the 1955 Brooklyn Dodgers. He was an outfielder for that team. And also was a member of the coaching staff for the Boston Red Sox in later years. So we talked about that particular documentary I worked on was about the 1955 World Series. So he talked about that ball club. But there, what a wonderful person he was. I got an opportunity to meet his wife as well, and I know his son is involved with baseball as in multiple levels as well. So he was a player who got beamed and almost very seriously injured, and he had to overcome that as well. And but a lifelong baseball a person of baseball that, everyone who knows a little bit about baseball knows that name, Don Zimmer.
Well, we were talking about, and you remember that, when he bum rushed, Pedro Martinez. Unfortunately, he's probably best known for that because of the national attention to Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. And there's O'Don in his mid-70s. Sprinting. I think it was just muscle memory. He just decided in the middle of a fight, he runs out there off the bench. Pedro sidesteps him and launches him into the turf.
Yeah, that is burned in my mind, unfortunately. I think a lot of baseball fans also. But, he was a tough guy. I mean, at that point, I think he was probably well into his 60s. I don't remember exactly how old he was, but do you think he was in his later 60s when that happened?
Oh, most definitely. He died at 83, and he just died 2 years ago. So he definitely was pushing 70 when he decided to get involved in the young men's little fracas.
That gives you an idea of how feisty a guy he was. I mean, he definitely was a tough guy. So, when he saw that, he just had to get, throw himself in the middle of it. And, he was involved in he saw a lot of different things in baseball. I know, during the 75 World Series, the Red Sox, Bob Lee was a member of the pitching staff, and I had brought up his name. And he had some difficult memory of Bob Lee. He didn't quite like him so much. And he told me never to mention that guy's name again. So,
I was involved in an event about 2020 up at the Capitol Theater in Clearwater, and it was Yankees, five members of the Yankees from that 70s and five from the Red Sox, and Lee was one of them. I thought those boys were gonna brawl at that event. They were very cordial to each other, but then as they reminisced more, you could see the temperature in the room going up a little bit. That is a storied, deep rivalry that, a documentary obviously merited.
Yeah, I think it was a subtle reference to something that happened in the 75 World Series. Lee was involved with that, and Zimmer. So some behind the scenes stuff that involved with Lee. He was a really interesting character in the game, and Zimmer. In those days, most guys had a little bit of a different attitude toward the game, and I guess they just were creations of a different era, and they clashed heads.
Hey, John, tell our audience, you've been on several times, how they can find your book, and of course you were an Emmy award winning producer and editor, I believe, and tell them how they can see some a little bit about your history.
Yeah, you can the book Augie Donatelli, his biography. You can look on there's a website called AugieDonatelli.com with quite a bit of material on there with regard to his background and his life as a major league umpire for 24 years, and also his time as a coal miner and World War II tail gunner. So you can visit AugieDonatelli.com to find out about that. And then, actually this week in baseball, a lot of those programs are archived on Apple TV, believe it or not. So you can check that out if you want to as well.
This Week in Baseball was a great production. It's always a pleasure to have a conversation with you, John. Why don't you grab Donatelli and come on down one of these days, and I'll buy you some beverages and some of this Ferg's fine food. How's that sound, my man?
Hey, sounds like a plan. See you soon, Mike. Have a happy Easter, okay?
You as well, and go Rays. He's John Bacchia, an accomplished producer, editor. This Week in Baseball. Pull it up, man. That was the show back in the day. It was a weekly broadcast put on by NBC, and he was the editor and producer. And
I need to bring that back, Mike. Put some on NBC and one of the major cable networks, really hyping up baseball.
Well, I'm going to go look at the archives. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and turn it over to Well, there's no big O. It's just the Axemen. And it's Alex Rebo. We're going to wind down the NCAA March Madness. Sadness to you. Sadness to a lot of people in their brackets. We'll take a look back at that. We'll talk a little more Rays. And we'll wind down the show. Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, it's the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We will return in just a few minutes.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay. Barb with Champa Bay at gmail.com or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today. 813-564-4134. Visit RadioSt.Pete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSt.Pete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSt.Pete.com is where local music lives.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the last segment of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We got 100 televisions strong. Come down and watch the Rays and the A's if you don't have a ticket. But the red hot 7-0 Rays take on the Oakland A's at the 4:10 first pitch. Plenty of time. Still get down here and have a great time. Been an excellent show brought to you by Sea Dogs Brewery. Of course, Ice Pick Vodka. Get yourself a Champa Bay today in the mornings. Ask for a ice pick with your Bloody Mary, as my buddy Kenny does. And then, of course, you got to stop at Shrimpy's. You've been to their happy hour at Shrimpy's. And, you know, great. What do you say? The chicken sliders?
Oh, yeah, those chicken sliders were amazing, Mike, and you pair it with any number of drinks that they have there. And, of course, you're always overlooking the water. You see a dolphin out there, maybe you catch some cool sights.
You notice that I've got Sea Dogs, I've got Shrimpies, I've got all the places on the water. I'm a water guy. I live in the neighborhood. And it takes me a block to walk to go collect checks and drop off invoices. But that's convenience at its finest. This is convenient. He lives right next door in a kind enough to get involved in our world. He's a savant when it comes to the world of sports. He brought his bodyguard with him today to keep his adoring fans away. And he just doesn't have time for autographs today, so we'll minimize it. He's Alex Rebo. He's the Penn State Nittany Lion, the biggest shill on the planet. And thanks for coming in and bailing out the big O.
What an intro. Thank you for the kind words.
I could have kept it up.
I appreciate that. So what do you want to talk about, Mike? Oscar and I were referring to this as the sports equinox. So
the sports equinox. I like that.
There's a couple on the calendar, but this is a big one for sure.
Well, let's do a rewind of March Madness, the most unique, probably unique year we've had in March Madness and collegiate basketball in quite some time. And a lot of those factors had to do with COVID and the portal and the transfer. Even on the women's side, we saw some things that you would never have seen in the past when you're talking collegiate sports. But it's the future, and this is what we're dealing with.
I mean, the transfer portal will forever change collegiate sports. You can't really call it amateur anymore if Nigel Pocket, Miami, is getting $800,000 a year to play for the Hurricanes. But it's the current status. I think it's actually somewhat leveled the playing field in the sense that the transfer portal has taken guys from lower schools, brought them up to schools like FAU, like San Diego State. They've been able to rebuild teams. They've been able to add depth in teams that have senior leadership already, have talent, but were missing things. San Diego State, always been great defensively, didn't have scores. They brought in guys like Tremel this year. He played a big part in getting them into the Final Four. So it's not always one and done. I think the era of the one and done, the era of Calipari just grabbing the top recruits, you know, a lot of guys are going to the G League too. So the way sports on the collegiate side have changed, I think, has been for the better. I don't know about on the football side, but in the basketball side, I think it has opened a lot of doors, and I'm excited for it.
I think it certainly has. I just don't like the unlevel playing field from a pay perspective.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what these locker rooms are like when Alex Reba is getting $800,000, and I'm a practice dummy, but I'm going to the same practices, I'm putting in the same effort, mm-hmm. and you're walking around with bling, and you've got your Maserati out front, and I'm getting bus tokens. And that reality is in a lot of all these locker rooms and all these sports now.
It's certainly going to, I think, cause some rifts, and we've already seen issues. But, I mean, Miami was an example of a team that was highly publicized coming into the season due to the way that Nigel Pock came from Kansas State, a team which went on a run in the tournament this year, him being a freshman, making the jump to the U, getting such a large paycheck. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's here to stay, and I am happy players are getting paid. I always thought it was insane that a guy at a local bar couldn't even accept the drink as a 21-year-old if a local bar owner said, you know, I'm a big fan of the team. Like, I think there was common sense rules. We've maybe gone a little too far, and that could cause issues down the line. But either way, I mean, it's crazy that our Final Four this year had three teams that never reached a Final Four. And of course, the team that ended up winning was UConn, who'd been there, now has five.
Exactly. And the reality, and we've discussed this before, is the NCAA did this to themselves, mm-hmm. Their own greed. So they can't talk about greed when they were the ones that were the purveyors of greed for decades and taking advantage of these students. So they blew that. Let's blow by that.
Absolutely.
So what did you think of the championship game?
The championship game was a little bit of a snooze fest.
Yeah,
I mean, UConn won by an average of 20 points in this tournament. Their win margin is the fourth highest in the history of the tournament since they've begun the seeding era, only trailing the 1996 UCLA team, I believe it was, the 2008-2009 UNC team, and that Villanova team that hit the Chris Jenkins shot in 2016. So their dominance this year was unprecedented. San Diego State did a great job of keeping that game close. They actually cut the lead down to five there with about 5 minutes left.
I thought that then we were going to see the same transition we'd seen all these games when you think they're out of it, mm-hmm. and all these underdogs. But UConn rallied this.
I was happy we at least got one final. We could have a game on our hands from Jim Nantz there.
Yeah.
So that got me excited. But I don't even think – the spread coming in that game was 6.5, and I took UConn in that game, and I was not even worried about it, even when they cut it to five.
How'd you like my prediction?
Yeah.
I wanted 18 points, and it actually came in at 17.
17, not bad.
Yeah, San Diego State in 17.
Look, the Aztecs had a great season. Brian Dutcher should be extremely proud of the way that program played and getting to that first championship game. But, you know, I think they ran into a buzzsaw in that UConn team. Adama Sanogo averaged a double-double basically through the tournament at 20 points a game. He was completely unstoppable. When he hit those two threes to start off the Miami game, I was like, there's no way you can stop this team. If a 6'10 guy, 7-footer, is hitting threes, and then they can bring a 7-footer off the bench on top of NBA talent like Jordan Hawkins, I mean, this team, they did it on both sides of the ball. They were Bart Torvik's like second-highest efficiency team on both the offensive and defensive side by the end of the season. Outside of, they had like a small stretch after Christmas where they lost a home game to St. John's, and they fell out of everyone's radar. They were dominant outside of that. People forget they beat Alabama. They beat Oregon. They beat Oklahoma State, they beat all these teams on neutral courts at the PK 85, the Phil Knight Invitational. I mean, this team was dominant throughout the year. And I think, I hope when we look back on this UConn run, we think of them as such a dominant performance because they were by far the best team in college basketball this year.
Well, and the talking heads that know the game and the inside, they picked them right out of the get-go.
Yeah, it was not a surprise to see UConn cutting down the nets. It was more a surprise that they were able to get out of that region. I think whenever Oscar and I were talking about it, we said they are in the toughest region, and having Kansas, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, all of the teams in their region, you could easily have seen making a run, but it was the fact that they were able to get out of that region without having to play Kansas, without having to play UCLA, which also had the injury of Jayden Clark coming into the tournament. I think they had some things fall their way, but also that's the only thing a contractor could say about this team. They never played a one or a two in this tournament. So was their matchups arguably as competitive as they could have been? Maybe not, but also you can only play the teams in front of you. That's how the tournament works. And every game they played, they absolutely dominated. They won by 13 or more and an average margin of 20 points. I mean, that's just pure dominance.
And I absolutely love the Hurley family story.
Yeah. And the Hurley kid. He got in the Hurley.
He got in towards the end.
He got into every game in this tournament. Yeah. Every game. I mean, that just shows you.
He looked like a coach's kid, though.
He is a coach's kid.
He looked like he should have been in a suit sitting next to his pops.
He probably will be in a couple of years.
Yeah, no shout. Well, but it's great family memories, by the way.
Absolutely.
All right.
A lot of credit to him.
On the women's side, did you watch anything?
I watched the final. Sorry for your loss. And, you had a great run. You had one of the most fantastically electrifying players in the women's game in years.
And she's a class act.
She's great. She's great. But credit to that LSU team. They came into that game ready to play. They found ways to make it tough on her, and they walked out of there with the national title, first one in LSU basketball, men's or women's history.
That's a prime example of what's going on in college basketball, college sports, because nine of those players were not playing at LSU last year, and you're able to go out and assemble teams based on whether they're dissatisfied, whether they've been given the boot, or whether they want another year of eligibility, another location for a memory, and NIL.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not just the men's side of the game that's changed.
Oh, no, that was probably the most obvious I saw.
Yeah.
Was she takes the job. It's her second year, and she's got nine players that were not there the year before.
I think the thing that really struck me about this women's tournament from watching Caitlin Clark is the women's game has finally evolved into the Steph Curry side of basketball. It's no longer a lot of women's basketball.
Old men like me still want to watch it now.
It's a lot more exciting. I mean, I admittedly was never big into women's basketball just because there are no dunks. It's not as electrifying. It's not as physical. The shooting was definitely on a lower level than watching even the men's side of collegiate sports. But that's no longer the case. I mean, that women's Final Four was fantastic. South Carolina getting beaten by Iowa was fantastic. That championship game between LSU and Iowa.
Men's eyeballs watched the Final Four women's than the history they ever have.
And I think that's great. I'd love to see
great women's sponsorship.
Honestly, if the women's tournament wasn't run at the same time as the men's tournament, I would probably be locked into it. It's just your bandwidth is only so high whenever you're on that Thursday and Friday and you got 60 some games going at once. It feels
you
like.
Have the capacity for that bandwidth. I do not. You watching any of this Frozen Four over at Emily?
I haven't gotten to watch any of the
you're
Frozen
not a hockey
Four.
Guy.
Well, I am a
I
hockey guy.
I think I might have found a sport. Oh, see, okay.
Penn State was an overtime away from taking Michigan's spot, but we were up 1-0 in that game, and then with like 5 minutes left, we gave up a bad penalty, and Michigan capitalized on it, and then 20 seconds into that game,
I guarantee you would have been over to Emily Arena if that was the case.
Yeah, yes, we would have. Yes, we would have.
Nittany Lion. Does he have like a Nittany Lion pajamas or like a pillow or a blankie at home?
There's plenty of Penn State memorabilia around my apartment.
I'm just curious. I mean,
of course,
I would think that, you know, you'd don that and is your dreaming of national championships.
One day. Hopefully Mike Rhodes brings us one for the basketball
program. We've got about 8 minutes. Let's talk baseball. You're over there. He's a baseball insider. How you digging the analytics piece? He's participating over there.
It's fantastic. I mean, the Rays are leading the league in home runs. They're leading the league in slugging percentage, leading in OPS. And that's the craziest thing is we all knew this pitching staff was going to be dominant even without Tyler Glasnow. But if this offense can hit, now again, we can make the argument. It's Oakland. It's Washington. It's Detroit. These aren't going to be teams we're going to be seeing in October. But these are the games you need to win. These are the series you need to win, especially at home.
And confidence builders.
Absolutely. And Eflin's look good. He was going to be a question mark at no matter what. Whenever you're paying him $40 million, he's going to be the highest signing ever. And he hadn't really done much as a Philly. So I think it's Ray's going to Ray is the saying. You know, I mean, they continue to find guys off the scrap heap, plug them in. And the guy who's got me the most excited is Jose Siri. If we have a guy that can bat for 20 home runs and steal 40 bags and is as dominant a defender as Kevin Kiermaier was and younger and cheaper, I mean, that's
a better fielding his position as well. He's got a higher fielding percentage.
Finally, for once, get along on one topic.
Well, of course we'll get along on the Rays.
Yeah.
He's not a college basketball guy, so yeah. We're not going to get there. But look, I think this Rays at the outfield with Randy playing the way he's been, I mean, he's carrying all that momentum from the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, he was unreal during the WBC for Team Mexico.
Absolutely. He has looked fantastic. And really, if Wander plays a full season at this level, can you imagine? I mean, it's just, I know, again, I have to continue to pinch myself. The early returns are not what we're going to be seeing in October, but this team is playing at such a high level right now. The pitching staff is doing the bullpen's had me a little nervous. I'm still not thrilled about what I'm seeing from Poche. I'm still not thrilled about Foucher. I'm hoping we get Kittredge back in the end of the season. I think he'll be a big addition. Adam was a little shaky last night, but I think he'll settle in. Fairbanks is an absolute lock at the back end of the bullpen. So, you know, I think once we get Glasnow back in there, the ceiling for this team, it's so high. You know,
it's great. It's exciting to see our pitchers doing so well. One of the things is we're the second lowest in walks for our team. Mm-hmm. We've only had 16 walks so far this season, and that's great. And that's something that will kill a team in the pitching department if they don't keep it down. So it's really exciting to see a team like ours on such a budget doing so well. It's really exciting. And, you know, I think it's good that we're hot right now.
Yeah.
I think it's good for the fans getting people in here. Because, you know, all baseball
$10 tickets, come on.
Yeah, all baseball teams get hot, you get cold. So
you're not going to hear that number very often at a stadium.
No, I mean, I've always been a huge proponent of the Tropicana Field, finding great deals at it.
You
can't
ballpark.
Find it. You can't find it anywhere else. Never going to have a rain delay. I mean, downtown St. Pete.
Hey, if there's a rain delay, you realize that day that it's free beer at Ferg's all day long.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I'll keep an eye on that. I wonder what blue moon will happen in concurrence with that.
Well, it'd have to be a hurricane or rip the roof off.
I think there's so many positive things we can talk about this Rays team, but are there any negatives that have kind of jumped at you? I think I'm a little nervous about where Brandon Lau's been at early on. I really want to see him get past those back issues and start seeing that power stroke out of him. And they haven't been putting him out there against lefties, so I'm kind of curious if he's going to be almost a platoon guy moving forward. They're going to keep Walls out there for his defense, because if Walls can make a step up offensively, then he'll be out there a lot more. It's just he hasn't shown a bat that's consistent enough to stay in the lineup.
Yeah, Walls leaves a lot to be desired in the hitting department. I will say that he is a great fielder, though. He makes the plays. He has a high fielding percentage, and I think that if he continues to bat like he has, I mean, I don't think that he'll be. I don't think that we'll be in too much trouble.
I went to the game last Sunday, and the big question mark for me and every fan is when Wander Franco steals, are we going to see him get up and hold that and grab that hammy?
Oblique, anything within his lower body always has me nervous. But hey, if he's hitting balls out the way he has been, I mean, 5 home runs last night, incredible. Margot's look great. Mejia and Bethancourt, I'm hoping that we can get some consistent batting offense from our catchers. I mean, this team they're deep. I love how much they've the early returns are great. That's all you can say about.
Was it you or John Bacchia that said that this club is so young, they don't know how good they really are?
Yeah, that was Bacchia, and I think that's good for them to not know how good they are. You know, playing a little bit with the chip on their shoulder. We're young, we're new to town, we're gonna get this job done. And I really hope that the old gray lady here gets herself her first World Series championship.
I think that series with Cleveland too really gave them some great momentum moving forward.
All right, guys. Well, we could have talked an hour about baseball. We wound that up. You and the Big O are doing a superb job with your broadcast. And I just got an email. We will have the launch of FloridaSportsStream.com this week, folks. So RadioSaintPete.com, FloridaSportsStream.com, and Big O and the Axeman. It's been a great day down here. We've got about 15, 20 seconds. Come on down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Ben Botham, Alex Reba. I don't have my script in front of me. I want to thank you for listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. As always, God bless you. God bless America. And have a championship weekend.